Okay, good to see you tonight. Many of you were here yesterday, and as you may have heard Pastor Don ask yesterday, I'd like to take tonight's response time to be from yesterday's time with our evangelism class. So if you were here, it'd be great to hear from you so that we can share and rejoice together with the whole body here tonight. So be thinking about that. In the meantime, let's stand and sing, please. He is exalted. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him, He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him, He is exalted forever. Father, we love you and we lift you up. We exalt you tonight. Thank you so much that you call us the children of God. And Lord, anything we can do in our lives to praise you and recognize your mighty position, your holy throne, it is a wonderful thing for us to do, not only individually, but together, Lord. Thank you so much for your goodness, and we pray we'd have a good night together as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Let's be seated.
You turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. And I told Justin verses 24 through 33, but it's actually 15 through 33 that I want to read tonight. So make that adjustment. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. And I think we unintentionally misled some people. Don Sunshine is not here tonight. Some of you thought that he would be here tonight as well. So you got to put up with the other Don. I'm sorry. I wish he could have stayed for tonight, but he had to get going this afternoon. So we're going to be looking at Proverbs as we've been doing on Sunday nights. We are going to be taking an offering when we're done here for Don Sunshine, but he's not here this evening. Verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 30. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied, four never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is perturbed. Yes, for four it cannot bear up. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food, a hateful woman when she is married, and a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in kings' palaces. There are three things which are majestic in pace, yes, four which are stately in walk. A lion which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any. A greyhound, a male goat also, and a king whose troops are with him. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. We started looking at some of those numerical proverbs, as we called them last week, and we're going to finish that up this evening. It was our privilege to have Don Sunshine with us yesterday as he held the seminar, and then again this morning, very well received. We are grateful for his ministry with us. So we do want to take that offering this evening. And if you're writing out a check, make it out to the church, but every penny will go to him for his time with us. So ushers, come forward and let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you for that which we were instructed in yesterday, and then again this morning as we were challenged. We thank you for Don Sunshine's ministry. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we had to have him with us. I pray that as we participate in his ministry through our offering tonight, that he would be blessed and that you would continue to enable him to carry on the ministry that you've called him to do. And again, Father, I pray that we'd put into practice that which we have learned. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for playing that. How many of you remember Doc singing that song sometimes? Yeah, boy, that's every time I hear that, I think about Don's dad, Doc, singing that, and how he just sang with much passion. It was a great song that he sang. So thanks, Kay, for playing it and for the good memory in that way as well. So tonight, just asking us, if we were here yesterday, to share a little feedback on what God did in your mind and in your heart. And even if you weren't here yesterday, maybe the Lord has been working on you in the area of evangelism and you'd like to share tonight, that'd be great as well. We do have Isabel Newton's going to run around with a microphone, so you can't say no to her. You might be able to say no to me, but not to her. So if you want to share, raise your hand. One thing that meant a lot to me yesterday is Don used the word adventure. And when you think of it, what do you think of when you think of the word adventure? What comes to your mind? Well, if some of you know me well, kayak comes to mind. I love going out and kayaking, and to me that's an adventure I enjoy a lot. Maybe an adventure movie comes on, and you think about the going through the wilderness to find something or hunt something, or perhaps finding that lost treasure of gold and down at the bottom of the sea or whatever it may be. But the Christian that seeks adventure is the one that is seeking to know his God or her God to the fullest. And God promises if we dare live by faith, we will live a life of adventure. And part of that adventure, which I know that he so convictingly gave us yesterday and this morning, was how many of us are shirking or staying away from the adventure of sharing Christ with other people. That's the adventure right there. That's the adventure of saying, I wonder, Lord, if you're going to use me this time to see this person get saved, or how can I best help them on their walk? Because God's treasure is souls, isn't it? It's not gold, it's not silver, it's not wealth. His treasure is souls. And the more we love the Lord, the more that we treasure souls as well. So the great adventure is, can the Lord use me to win a soul today or this week or sometime? My neighbor, my friend, my family member, whoever it may be. Well, I'm just thankful that he reminded us of what a true adventure looks like for a believer. So love to hear back from you. Short, long, whatever it may be, don't be afraid to share. Sunday nights often serve as a great place to speak in a crowd that is very friendly. So maybe I get so nervous doing this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak to the Sunday night crowd. We're brothers and sisters, right? Right? We love each other, right? There we go. So don't be afraid.
Well, first of all, an adventure, when I think of adventure, I think of something very exhausting and unpleasant when you're going through it, and frightening, and all of that. That if you do make it through, you have a wonderful story to tell afterwards. You know, people talk about adventures being these glorious, exciting things, and I think for the most part, an adventure is something awful. Or dangerous, or whatever, that you don't particularly enjoy as
you're
going through
it. That's not helping my introduction at all, Abby.
But you can look back and say, wow, God was really faithful through that, and what a story I have to tell. But anyways, that's not what I wanted to say. I'm always on the lookout for specific things to get me started on whatever it is that I want to do. So much of the time, I need a framework or a tried and true pattern or routine in order to really get going on something effectively. And that's what I came yesterday looking for. And I did find it. So often, I've felt like it's ineffective for me to walk up to someone and say, can I share with you something that changed my life? Because to be honest, and don't take this wrong, it didn't change my life at any specific point in my life, because I grew up just steeped in a Christian family life. I can't remember specifically which time it was that I got saved, you know, that I cried out to God and said, I know I need you. So I didn't see this big change in my life, but at the same time, I know that God's word is true, and I know that it is his love and his word is best for us, and that Jesus is my only plea before him. So one of the things that I really appreciated yesterday was the idea that, you know, instead of walking up and asking someone if they want to hear the gospel from you or whatever, you can say, can I pray for you? And it's amazing how much of God's word and the gospel that you can put in a prayer. And in the meantime, the person you're praying for is really, usually, I would think, really glad that you are praying for them personally and using their name specifically in the prayer. And if you can pray that they would be saved and say to God, you know, what you would like him to do for this person, they can get a lot of truth from that. And as I've gotten a little less timid over the years about praying out loud, I thought that's something specific that I can do. So that was greatly appreciated.
Thanks. I like that point about praying for the person and then also praying for them right then and there, mm-hmm. instead of walking away saying, right. I will pray for you. And often I'm guilty of, oops, I forgot. And then you feel really guilty when somebody comes up later and said, thank you for praying for me, and I didn't. Oops.
You're witnessing to them, yeah. right there as you're praying for them out loud.
Which, and it's great, the prayer. And the neat thing, too, I think, Abby, is when we pray, and sometimes you got to the end and people will be like, you're praying to God like he's real. Mm-hmm. He is. He really is my Father. He really is my Lord. He really is my God. And some people aren't used to that. They're expecting something different. But to be able to pray and give the gospel, praying along, thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Savior, the one who rescues us from our sin. Boom, 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 boom. There it goes, you know. And it's a great way to share. So good deal. Who else?
Well, I've kind of had a neighbor of mine who lives kitty corner to me. He's an 80-year-old man. He lives by himself with his grandson. His daughter lived next door to me, and that's a house that burned down. So, you know, I got together this little book I had from John MacArthur about Jesus, and I wrote a little note, and I went over. And he's a nice man. I knew he wouldn't, like, you know, get angry with me or anything. So we had a conversation, but he pretty much had some other beliefs that were pretty well set. And, you know, I spoke about how I cared for him and wanted to give him this message, and he had been raised Catholic, and something happened in his life he didn't want to talk about, and he had turned against God a long time ago. And he said, I like to look up in the stars, and there's got to be so many other planets, and there's so many other gods. And he didn't believe, you know, in the Bible either. And then I realized, you know, I've done my job, and I'm not going to change his mind. And he also said, well, you know, I'll be the one to choose that. And I said, yes, you're right, you will be. But I care for you, and I wanted you to hear the message. So then, you know, I thanked him for listening to me, and that was pretty much it. There you go.
What a relief. Don mentioned this on Wednesday night with Ezekiel. What a relief that we get to be the seed throwers, right? God gives the increase. All we need to do is just plant seeds here, plant seeds there. And by doing that, you glorify the Lord, which is our highest purpose. No matter what his response is, to God be the glory as we share.
You know, I pointed out to him, I wrote something in the book, and that you know, if he could read it, and maybe he will, because I bring books over for him to read, you know, and like old National Geographics, and he really enjoys that, so maybe he will. I don't know. It's up to God.
Yeah, and it may be less... For some people, less confrontational if you hand them something nicely, you know, just, would you read this? This is what I believe, where I come from. Would you read this? And whenever you want, just, and if you want to talk about it, great. So I appreciated the fact that Don talked about carrying something on him all the time, and just was a reminder I should have something in my pocket or my vehicle or whatever, because you never know when you get a chance to witness. That's good. Thanks, Karen.
Okay, I felt very convicted because I'm quite lax on this. I love Jesus very much, but other than family members, I haven't been necessarily, if the opportunity maybe presented itself, I would, but I wouldn't necessarily go out and knock on somebody's door to do it. But to be disciples of Christ, that's what we need to be doing.
Yeah, figuring out ways so we can best reach the ones. And as we walk with the Lord, His Holy Spirit does lead us, right? And as we learn to listen better and better, naturally, He will be the one speaking through us rather than ourselves. And just praise the Lord, He does that.
Thank you. What I want to say is, it made me think yesterday about our other church down in Florida. We have a really good friend who's fantastic at evangelizing. The way he does it, which Don didn't mention, but I think is a great idea, he has a whole bunch of tracts, you know, just little cards, and he'll leave them at gas stations, you know, put it right on the pump that he just got done using for the next guy. He also takes them and, you know, into restaurants and, you know, leaves them in the restrooms where he's washing his hands and stuff. And so there's, for the people who can't muster up the nerve to talk face to face, that's another avenue that they can take.
You know, I don't think he's here tonight, but I'm pretty sure if I remember Jim Felt's testimony, he picked up a track, which eventually led to his salvation. So somebody can correct me later if I'm wrong, but we know how much we love Jim Felt. I think that's wonderful. It was through a track.
I'm sorry. Today, on the way, I thought that the message yesterday was phenomenal. I thought he did a great job. And today, on the way to church, I always want to be here early to greet. And I started across the bridge, and this girl was walking across the bridge with two carry bags, soaking wet, had a cup of coffee in her hand, and it was just pouring. And I just thought, oh, gosh, poor her. And I kept going, and I thought, is this the opportunity that Don told us about? And I thought, no, I got to get to church. Well, I turned down to go back and get her, and I was going the opposite way as she was, and I asked her if she wanted to ride. She goes, no, I'm okay. So I turned back around, and I parked at the Progress Plaza and waited for her. She didn't come for quite a while, and Joe pulled in. He goes, what are you doing? And I said, he goes, you're picking up
what,
the...
I knew what she was doing.
So anyway, I went back because she was standing under a porch. She had been really wet. And I said, can you please let me take you someplace? You're drowning. And she goes, no. And I said, this is what I did. I like froze. And I said, you know, I was just at a program yesterday and I just wanted to tell you how much Jesus loves you. And she goes, I know. It's okay, I know. And I said, well, I just want you to know that. And she says, you know, there's not a lot of kind people in the world anymore. And she goes, I just appreciate that you cared about me. I tried.
good for you. Amen. Amen. Pastor Lloyd, Isabel.
Thank you. Yesterday during the program, I got a call from Craig Dawsey, and he let me know that Ryan Larkham had a foot amputated. He's one of the coaches. And we went up to, then Donnie and I left after everything was over and went up to see Ryan, and seemed to be in pretty good spirits, seeing that he just lost his foot. And we were talking to him, and and we prayed with him. And also, but I told him, I said, you can look at this as an obstacle or you can look at it as an opportunity. And I told him, I believe God's going to use this in your life. And he didn't, well, Don can tell you, he didn't back off or anything. So, but I know him, and I'll see him again. Pray for Ryan, because that's a big step to face amputation. But he knows, and I said, you're in pretty good mood right now. Is this going to be a long affair to be rehabbed? And he said, yeah, it is, because they have to fix him so he can get a prosthesis, and then from there, the rehab and all that. So we just planted some seeds there that we can follow up on. Don't overthink evangelism. Sometimes we overthink it a little bit. I kind of think people are more willing to talk politics and get in arguments with people over that than share Christ. You know, why is sharing Christ harder than sharing politics or your favorite football team or hunting or whatever subjects you get into? And it shouldn't be. If you care about people, those opportunities will come. There's another book the deacons are reading. It's called Walk Across the Room. It's by Bill Hybels. And God walked across the universe to come to save us. We can walk across the room to share the gospel with somebody. And he has all kinds of illustrations of just talking to people. And just one quick one. His son played soccer. And the soccer coach, after practices, if you people have been involved in this, there's all these cones laying out all over the place. So Bill went over and introduced himself, and he offered to help the coach put away the gear and get it ready for the next day. And the coach said to him right away, he says, don't talk to me about church. Don't talk to me about Jesus. And so Bill just said, I was there to make friends with him, just to start to build a relationship. And what happens after... They got together, and they talked. They had coffee with each other off and on. And one day, this is so interesting, he's getting ready to have a class for people to be baptized. So he goes into the room, and here's this guy, this coach, is sitting inside the room. And Bill says, what are you doing here? Well, I'm here to be baptized. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That was an 11-year thing that it took him to see, that once his son was out of soccer, he never saw him that much anymore, but just shows you what it was. You know, a guy goes from, hey, I don't want anything to do with this, so don't talk to me about it, but we can talk about soccer or whatever else. But Bill was persistent, of course, in praying for him, and eventually the guy trusts Christ. So don't overthink it. You know, it's show people you care about them by praying for them or just being there for them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Among the things that stuck in my mind was this statement that how much hate do you have not to tell somebody about Christ? And that struck a nerve.
Yeah, that's kind of like a put the knife in and twist it a little bit. Boy, that's really, really convicting, Dave. And the reality is that if I refuse, then I do hate them. I'm not choosing to love. And what is not choosing to love? Is that not hate? So just God help us not to hate humanity, not to hate our neighbor, relative, whoever it may be, but to love them instead.
Something that really just hit me was, if you've been to church for any length of time, a Bible teaching church, you've heard this over and over, but just in the way he said it and continued to bring it out was that every day of your life, every moment of your life, you know, first of all, it was planned before the foundation of the world. And then secondly, it's divine. You know, God is going to use you if you're open to it. I mean, there's a divine, you know, divine appointments all along the way. And then that just being ready, you know. So that just was, you know, really significant. I thought it was neat the way you brought that out.
Me too. I appreciate you saying that. Me too. You live by the people you live by God's divine plan, divine purpose. They are there for a reason, and it's spiritual reasons. You have the job you do, not just because it brings in a paycheck, but because God is surrounding you with person or people that he wants you to be a witness to, a light to. That's God. God's doing, it's all about people, far more than the things that are I see, right? Very good. Rob?
Yeah, I wasn't here yesterday, but something the Lord's been working on my heart with is just reaching out and just knowing that every person I come in contact with is a divine appointment from him. And realistically, we need to look at it like that and not just mull it over and put it under the carpet, so to speak. But a verse that come out that's been pushing me all week is just the verse Psalm 37. Psalm 37, Pastor Lloyd talked about this morning, and it's verse 4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And what that means, that's a command from God. We're to delight ourselves in the Lord, and that adventure is there. We just got to take it and embrace it and go with it.
Thanks, Rob. Good. Anyone else? One or two more? Howard, he's over here. Isn't she doing such a good job?
Yeah, Mike, I didn't know if I was going to get a chance tonight. Mike wanted me to start it off, but it definitely shows that it made an impact, and that's a great thing. I know he got my attention when he said he had a motorcycle ministry, and but, you know, he really confirmed a lot that we do is, you know, exactly what he taught. We always do pray with our waitresses when we stop for a meal. And that is really a big deal, how much that is appreciated. And I want to echo a little bit what Abby said. One of the first things when I patched in with the guys, they want to know your testimony. And I want to tell you, some of their testimonies are absolutely fantastic. And so here I am, you know, they want to know, what was it like for you before Jesus, and how has it changed your life after Jesus? Well, my testimony was like, well, I went to church my whole life, and, you know, I got saved when I was, 7 years old. So what was the change? I don't, where is it? But I want to tell you, can that testimony glorify God? Absolutely. Any one of those guys, they'd give an arm or a leg to be able to say that they had a life where they followed Christ instead of the pain and guilt they had to go through before they met the Lord. So don't think that your testimony isn't glorifying to God.
Great. Thanks, Howard. Very good. Very good. All right. Who's raising their hand? Greg, you okay? Right behind you, Isabel.
Thank you. It was interesting that this morning, I don't know if you heard the phone ring out back here during the service. It was somebody needed some help. And so I talked to them and I said, well, come in at noon. And they came in and helped themselves to the groceries. And I took them out and got them some gas. But because of what he said, I asked her what her name was. Well, I would have asked that anyway. But I said, do you have any prayer requests? Do you have anything that we can pray for you about? So we took time, and I prayed for her by name. And she was very appreciative, and many of you know that a lot of times we get people that are using the system, and we don't know. But this morning when I went to give her gas, there was no question she had a major need. And she was very, very appreciative. And so I just thought, well, it was from him that encouraged me to do that, and I looked at it in a different way. So
that's good. Anybody else? One more? Appreciate all the sharing tonight. All right, right behind you, there you go. We'll end with my dad.
I thought it was very interesting. This is short, but that he brought up the concept of make believers, which makes it so difficult, I think, sometimes to really know. You know, you think if the Lord puts a burden on somebody on your heart, you know, does he put a burden on the make believers? Are you suspicious, and how do you approach them? You know, and I think one of the faults, and maybe the faults I've had all my life, is misperceiving what people might be really thinking when they're really reaching out with felt needs.
Good. Good. Well, Lloyd's got to get his final words in here.
How many thought that sermon was sobering this morning? Real sobering. We as a body of believers are told to love one another. We need to encourage one another in our personal witness. If we're not thinking about it, if we're not talking about it, we're probably not doing it. But we have a tremendous opportunity every week to encourage each other in sharing the gospel with somebody else. And so I'd just like to reflect that. He told that to keep it in the testimony. He said yesterday he got a group of about 7 or 8 people that met continually and encouraged each other about witnessing their faith. Because if we never hear anything about it, then we're probably not doing it. So I'd just like to, let's encourage each other each week as we come together to pray that we would witness Jesus Christ and share our faith. Encourage each other to do that. Because in any kind of program, I know if I'm coaching somebody, I coach them once and then leave them go. I'm there every single day encouraging them to do the same thing called the fundamentals or whatever we're doing. So this is a challenge for all of us. Let's encourage each other to share the gospel so we don't become like one of those churches that are filled with people who don't witness. Is that good? Thank you.
I hope, I know a number of you are directly involved on Saturday. If you're not, that's fine. If you can stop by, even for 15 minutes to half an hour between 3 to 6 o'clock, this is a chance for us to put feet to what we heard. It really is. There'll be a number of people there, not just kids, but moms and dads. And let me just, before I turn it over to Don, remind you that he gave us some six conversation sentences that may help you. What do you believe? Has anyone given you one of these yet, whether it's a Bible or a tract or a little booklet or whatever that you give them? Can I share something with you? Do you ever think about spiritual things? Do you go to church anywhere? And if you were to die suddenly today, where would you spend eternity? Probably there's one or two of those that you could really latch on to. If it's hard, I'm nervous about doing this, work on one of them, pray over one of them this week, and think about how you can introduce one of them anytime, but even maybe this Saturday if you can make it down to our outreach. It's having a family fun day, having it right here, a playground right there, is such a great opportunity because you can say, I go to church over there, and I love my church, and I'd love you to be a part of it, but can I share something with you about why I love my church and why I love God? And boom, there you go. You're right into it already. You know, no matter how they respond, that's God's business. Our business is just obeying him and being blessed in his love through obedience. Thanks so much for sharing tonight.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Hearing that feedback, excuse me, Don asked me how I heard about him and how I ended up contacting him, and he said that he did not contact me, I contacted him. I don't remember it that way. I don't even remember, but somehow God certainly brought us together, and I'm thankful that he did, and so we will... continue. I'm sure Mike and Eddie and I will be talking about how we can keep these thoughts going and how we can be encouraging one another to continue to, you know, we don't want to have this seminar yesterday and then have them this morning and then, you know, again, be like James talks about, we see ourselves in the mirror and then walk away forgetting what manner of men we are and women we are. And so we don't want to do that. So we're going to be talking about how we can keep this going and be encouraging one another in that. And so, and part of that, if I can just put in a plug for Iron Sharpens Iron, meets on Saturday mornings, and they are going to be doing for about 6 weeks a section from Kyle Eidelman. He's the one, many of you were involved in the Not a Fan book, and he has studies out on that, but it's Kyle Eidelman, and it's One by One is the title of the book and so forth that we're going to be doing as Iron Sharpens Iron. So that's on this same theme. So we encourage you men to come on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. That's starting 2 weeks from yesterday on the 8th and going for about 6 weeks up to about Easter time, Thanksgiving time. So avail yourself to that. Then also part of the whole thing, the deacons are reading a book, Just Walk Across the Room. It's by Bill Hybels. And so the deacons are going to be encouraged in this. If you want to buy that book, just go on Amazon. You can read it right along with the deacons, but just walk across the room. And again, it's on this same thing, just encouraging us to, you know, you don't have to get in a necessarily the first time you talk to somebody, get into, you know, a 45-minute presentation of the gospel. Just walk across the room and introduce yourself and start talking. And so we want to encourage you to continue thinking along these lines, and we can be better at telling others about Christ. Just for a few minutes, let's turn to Proverbs 30. As I said last week, we started with verse 15 and looking at what we refer to as numerical proverbs, because five different times we see a couple of verses, but they begin with three things, yes, four. And then it talks about verses 15 through 17. He says there in verse 15, there are three things that are never satisfied, yes, four, that never say it is enough. And then it goes down through. And then verse 18, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four, which I know not. He talks about things that are untraceable and then emphasizes that sin is traceable. Be sure your sin will find you out. And then verse 21 through 23, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. And it talks about four things that really cause disruption within society or within the family. He talks about that. And then with verse 24, there are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. And we want to look at that this evening. There are three things, yea, four, though they are little, they are exceedingly wise. Verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. So he says, here's an example for us, the ants. He says they're small. You know, every one of us can crush them under our foot. And yet, he says, they can be an example to us in how they prepare for the future. They don't procrastinate. They recognize that it's summertime, they need to prepare for winter. In the wintertime, there's not going to be the food around to survive, so they need to prepare ahead of time in the summer. And so it's just an example to us. Though they're small, they're weak, they can be crushed underfoot, and yet their wisdom is seen in that they prepare for the future, and they do not procrastinate. And again, what a great example for us. This is the proverb of Agar in Proverbs chapter 30 here, but Solomon says a very similar, you don't need to turn to it, but back in chapter 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her food in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Go to the ant, you sluggard. You know, procrastination is usually because of laziness. And so that's why Solomon refers specifically to go to the ant, you sluggard, or you lazy one, and recognize that your procrastination really is a result of laziness. And so learn from the ant. They don't procrastinate. They make take advantage of the opportunity before them as they prepare for the future. I would say, especially when it comes to spiritual matters, we can be great procrastinators. Probably many of you could share a testimony how even when it came to your salvation, you put it off and you put it off and you put it off until finally the Lord got a hold of your heart. But we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So people many times procrastinate even when it comes to salvation. And we need to, even in our witnessing, that's a great verse to use with somebody if you get to that point in your witnessing, or maybe somebody you've shared the gospel and they say, "Well, not now. Not now, I'll do it later." And obviously, again, you can't force them. Only God can change the heart, can convert them and save them. But you can share that verse with them. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't procrastinate. And then as believers, we can sometimes procrastinate. Even, again, making reference to what we've just been talking about in the seminar yesterday and the message this morning. And again, we can look at those things and maybe think, "Well, boy, I'm just really busy this week. I'll think more about it next week." And Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We've heard the voice of the Lord yesterday, those of us who were here, and then this morning, we've heard the voice of the Lord. Let's not harden our heart. Let's recognize that now's the time to do it. Now's the time to implement some of these things into our lives, and let's be more faithful about that. So we learn from the ant, not to procrastinate, but to not to put things off, but to take the opportunities of today and to use them to God's glory. Verse 26 says, "The badger are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks." The badger, your translation may say coney. It's an animal over there in the Middle East that they have soft feet. And because of the softness of their feet, they can't dig in the ground and make a burrow to hide in. They can't make their own refuge. You know, we have our groundhogs around, and they can dig a hole, and they can get underground, and that's their refuge. They can escape into that hole. But these badgers, these animals that's being referred to here, they had soft feet. They couldn't dig their own burrow in the ground. They couldn't provide for their own refuge. So in wisdom, obviously the wisdom that God gave them in creation, in wisdom they hide in the rocks. They find a cleft in the rock, and that's where they hide for their protection. So again, that wisdom that God gave them. And they can't provide for themselves as far as refuge, but they can find refuge in the rock. And what, again, and a great example for us. You know, we need to be willing to admit our weaknesses. We need to admit those things that we can't do. And we need to turn to others for help, whether it's one another. You know, there's some things that maybe I can't do that you would be great at doing, and maybe you can help me, or vice versa. We need to acknowledge our weaknesses, acknowledge the things we can't do, and then find somebody that can help us in that. And ultimately, obviously, we need to find our refuge in our rock, Jesus Christ. We need to admit to him our weaknesses, and we need to find strength in him. As the badger finds strength in the rocks for protection, we need to find our strength in our rock, which is Jesus Christ. So again, we learn from the badger. The locust, they have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. The locust, what do we learn from them? They have no king. They don't have any ruler necessarily or a leader to organize them, but they're small, they're weak, but they can accomplish a great task. Now, their task is destruction. As they go through a field and maybe destroy it, but the task before them, they come together in great numbers, united in that task, and as they come together united in that task, they can perform the task without a king. They just all have the same passion. That passion is to destroy the field in their case, but they have that passion. They have that goal. United, they strive towards that goal and they accomplish their task. Again, what an example for us. United together, we can do so much more than we can just as individuals by ourselves. And we can have that same passion, that same goal. And the passion, obviously, ultimately, is to glorify God. And again, as we've been talking, even with reference to evangelism, together we can encourage one another. Together we can be involved in this. Together we can accomplish great things for God as we are united in our passion to glorify God. And so we learn from the locust. And then in verse 28, he speaks of the depending on your translation, it's either spider or maybe lizard. But he says in verse 28, the spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Or your translation again may use the lizard, and it may say, you may take hold with the hand. There's some debate as to exactly how this should be translated. Is it talking about the spider or the lizard able to grasp with their hands? And in that sense, they take hold with their hands. You know, a spider can crawl up the wall, or a lizard, they can crawl right up a wall or even across the ceiling, and they stay put. Or is it talking about they're weak? We can grab them with our hands, and yet they live in king's palaces. I think really it's more the first idea. These spiders or these locusts, God has given them the ability to crawl up a wall or to crawl across the ceiling, and with that ability, they can crawl away, they can hide, they can get to where we can't get them, and they live in king's palaces, just using the ability that God gave them. And so what do we learn? Let's use the abilities God has given us. The spider, the lizard, they may not, they're small, they're weak, and yet they use the ability God's given them, and they live in king's palaces. So we can learn from that. We may not have the ability to do everything that we would like to do, maybe, but let's use the abilities God has given us. Maybe not all of us can be a Don Sunshine, but we all have the ability to at least be a witness, be a testimony, to pray with somebody. We can certainly use the abilities that God has given us, and then let God use our abilities for His glory. We learn from the spider or the lizard. Verse 29, the last of these numerical proverbs. There are three things which go well. Yes, four are stately in their going. This is talking about animals that just have a way about them that goes with boldness and confidence. Now, don't take these as pride and arrogance, but think of it more as bold. Think of it more of confidence. The first one, he says, a lion, which is strongest among beasts and turns not away from any. We think of the lion as the king of beasts. And the lion isn't afraid of anything or anybody. The lion goes with confidence. The lion goes with boldness. They're not afraid. And so we, not with arrogance, not with pride, but we can go with boldness. We can go with confidence. We don't need to be afraid. Again, tying it in with what we've been looking at this weekend, when it comes to sharing our faith and just talking to somebody, praying with somebody, giving somebody some literature, we can go with boldness. We can go with confidence in that. Not arrogance, not pride, but confident. We can go with confidence, and like the lion, not be afraid of anyone or anything. We don't need to fear what man will do to us. We don't need to fear the one who can destroy the body, but not the soul. Christ Himself says that. We can go, the lion, with that confidence and with that boldness, he goes with the attitude that he's going to be victorious. And we can go with that attitude. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So we can go with confidence, we can go with boldness, we can go with an attitude of victory just like the lion. Verse 30, a greyhound is another example. Now, again, translation-wise, greyhound is what the King James uses, but really it's more a word that refers probably to a strutting rooster, or perhaps we here in Pennsylvania, we'd think of a turkey gobbler when they're gobbling and their tail is all fanned out. Many of us have seen that. Or maybe you've seen a peacock with their tail all fanned out. You know, that exudes confidence and boldness when you see that with a rooster or a turkey or a peacock. It exudes boldness and confidence. And so, again, that same idea, we can go with that confidence. Speaks of the male goat, the billy goat. You know, when you think of a billy goat, you think of goat. You know, they usually like to climb up on things. And I, of course, having been in Alaska and hunted goats in Alaska, you know, they get up where no human ought to be. You know, they're up in the rocks, up on top of the mountain, and I remember more than once hunting them, and, you know, you look up there and you say, man, how can I possibly get there? And they're up there, and they're looking out over everything, and there's just no way you can get to them without them seeing you and taking off. I mean, they're king of the mountain, and they're up there with all the confidence and boldness in the world. I remember one time especially we saw them, and I said, man, how are we going to get there? And we thought, well, maybe we can kind of swing around this way, but before we can swing around this way, we got to go this way, and they're going to see us. And I mean, we started. We were probably a mile away from them still, and they're still up probably 1,000 feet above us, if not more. And like I said, we're probably a mile away from them, and they saw us, and they took off. I mean, there was just, they're king of the mountain. Boldness and confidence. And then it speaks of the king against whom there is no rising up, or the king when his army is with him, is again a translation maybe you have. And that's more the idea, the boldness and confidence of a king that's surrounded by his army. And we can have that same confidence and that same boldness because we are surrounded by God's army. Remember the time of Elisha? When he couldn't see the armies of the angels, but then God opened his eyes and he saw God's army, and he knew that he was surrounded by God's army. And we can have that same confidence and that same boldness and know that as we stand before this world, God has us surrounded. And we can have boldness and confidence in that. Come to verse 32, and again, we see we're not talking about pride, we're not talking about arrogance. There's a big difference, because he says, if you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth. If you're going in pride, if you're going in arrogance, and you've plotted evil in that arrogance and in that pride, you better just shut up. Put your hand over your mouth. We're not talking pride. We're not talking arrogance. We're talking a total dependence upon God. We're talking weakness. We're talking weakness before God. But then going in confidence and boldness in his strength. That's what we need. And then he says in verse 33, surely the churning of milk brings forth butter. Have you ever made butter out of milk? Out of the cream of the milk. I did that one time. It was pretty cool. It really works. But you churn the milk and you do make butter. And the ringing of the nose brings forth blood. Did you ever ring anybody's nose? No, I won't ask that. But we all know that happens. And then he says, so the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. Anger will result in strife. Whether that anger is external or whether that anger is internal, bitterness. That bitterness, maybe we try to keep it within ourselves, but eventually it is going to cause strife. It's going to cause division, just as sure as the churning of milk will bring butter, just as sure as punching somebody in the nose is going to bring blood. you harbor anger, and it will bring forth strife and division. And so anger warns us in this proverb to control that anger. And tying that in with verse 32, usually the anger that we have, it's a result of pride. It's a result of arrogance. You know, somebody did something to us, and I would never do that. Well, that's pride. Probably you have done that to others. But in your pride, I would never do that, and we get angry. So somebody has said something to us, somebody has hurt us or whatever, and, well, I would never do that, and we justify our anger because I would never do that. Well, in reality, we're saying that in pride because probably we have done that, or if we haven't, we probably will someday because of our pride. We get angry at others. And so he warns us not to get angry, not to allow that pride into our lives. Yes, we can go with boldness, we can go with confidence, but only in the strength of the Lord, not in our own strength. As we consider, again, telling others about Christ and just sharing our faith with others and our testimony, we can go with boldness, not with pride like we're better than them, but boldness and confidence God is with us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for this time together tonight. Thank you for this weekend, for the testimonies shared tonight. I pray that we would continue to meditate upon these truths. Help us to have that boldness and confidence in you, not in ourselves, and to be faithful in just talking to others about our life's experiences and how you have blessed us and how you have saved us and how you have encouraged us and how you've loved us. We can share that with others. We thank you for this time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You are all invited back to the kitchen as we celebrate Andy's 93rd birthday. And so I think because probably we'll kind of straggle back there, so let's sing happy birthday to him, happy birthday to him right here now, and then we can all go back. We'll pray before we go back, and then you can go back and start with the refreshments. We're going to sing happy birthday to Andy. And kind of along with that, tomorrow is Andy's birthday, right? It's tomorrow, 93. Today is Sharon and Andy's anniversary. Do I have that correct? So how many years? 12 years? All right. Seems like about 6. I don't know. Doesn't seem like 12 years ago. But anyway, so happy anniversary to both of you. Happy birthday, Andy. Let's sing it together. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Andy. Happy birthday to you. It's by God's grace that you're still here, Andy. I know you've had some health challenges this year, and God's brought you through, and we're so grateful. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for this opportunity just to celebrate with Andy. Thank you for how you have brought him through some of the health challenges and continue to do so. Thank you for keeping him here with us for another year. We celebrate with him. We rejoice with him. We thank you for Sharon and Andy's anniversary, and for bringing them together, and for the blessing they've been to us. So, Father, as we fellowship together, may it be pleasing in your eyes. May you be glorified. And we pray that as we leave this place tonight, we would continue to be challenged. Thank you for the refreshment that you provided for us. We rejoice in the abundance that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. God bless you, and make your way back to the kitchen.